next on our agenda is the project updates, and that's integration of EMS and fire. Nathan, did you have information to share with us?
Sure. I didn't know if you guys wanted to talk about this or not. It seemed safer to put it on the agenda than not. So as you guys know, August 3rd is our deadline to have a ballot measure. It's the fire district responsibility, since it would be their ballot measure to come up with that actual proposal and the wording for the ballot measure. But you know, we in sort of agreeing to this project need to agree to move forward, and kind of how we get to that point is, you know, our implementation plan, the roadmap specified that we would put together a combined year one budget, put together, you know, wages and benefits, put together an org chart, do those steps that we had discussed. Chief Collins is presenting his plan to his board as we speak. And tomorrow we're going to go over it with the union rep. And then later this week or next week, depending on whether the union rep recommends we do this or not, we'll meet with some staff to talk about it as well. It's easy to forget, though, that in a union, you really have one person that represents the whole union, and it's not actually our staff. It's the union president, Dean Shelton. And so we'll defer to him on what he wants to do. And, you know, once there's sort of a sense that that's working for people, then we bring it to the board. Timelines are going to get pretty tight. But we are on track. So we're definitely getting where we need to be to give you a decision. The main vehicle you have to agree to is basically you take, well, you don't have to agree to it, but the main vehicle for a decision would be a memorandum of understanding between our district and the fire district that we would need to agree to in our July 28th board meeting. That memorandum of understanding would codify basic things such as, you know, this, the levy lid lift or the EMS levy that they would like to establish at X rate, which, you know, they can have two tries, one in November, one in February, but we're not willing to go out past February 2022. It specifies that, you know, we would engage in discussions about interlocal agreement once and if that levy measure passes. It sort of lays out the main things. So there's this set of documents that we're working to get to you that explains the project and the planning that we had agreed to in our implementation plan. And then you use that to make your decision. But the MOU itself is the decision. It's the agreement between our agencies. We are on track to give you that decision in the July 28th meeting. Next week, there should be, you should receive it next week, hopefully early in the week, maybe even later this week. And you'll each have a chance to comment, think about it. My suggestion would be, given the number of big decisions coming up, that we not review and decide on the 28th, but that we have a special meeting the end of next week. Let's see, it's the 13th, so it'd be somewhere between the 21st and the 23rd, maybe even the 24th, but I think, or we could do it the 26th or 27th, you know, Monday or Tuesday before the regular board meeting, but I am nervous about delaying input to the decision day. It's like a budget, you know, you need to distribute it beforehand, people need to have a chance to comment, we need to talk about it before you actually have to vote on it, so. I'm hoping we can pull that off as well. As I said at the last regular board meeting, July is just going to be a very busy month for us. But that's but it's a month that will also many ways define the district in the years to come and what we're all doing next year or the year after. So that's broadly speaking the plan. Hopefully we can, you know, get union buy-in. Certainly, if they oppose the ballot measure, if they oppose the project, it would be a tough sell. And besides that, we just want them to be appreciated and valued at the fire district and to have stake in where we're headed. So that's basically the process that we've come up with. And so you can expect to have something by early next week, the full plan. And then the hope is that we can talk about it. Questions, comments?
I have a couple. Sorry, I was muted. I wanted to ask on how the progress is going with the combined budgets, because that was something that was in our list of absolutes. And that's something that we haven't seen yet. So we're talking about signing an MOU soon. Do you have any information from Chief Collins on his progress there?
I do. The combined budget is done. His board is reviewing it today, and that should go out with the package, along with the wages and benefits. They're all tied together. You can't make a budget without knowing wages and benefits and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it had to all be done. They don't do, how he structures things and how we structure things, but that's part of what we're trying to accomplish. It's not going to be the same thing that we do. So we will definitely get those to you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Of course. Superintendent Butler, I'm a little confused. So the fire commissioners are seeing this proposal now, but we're not. I thought this was kind of a joint group thing that was coming together. So I'm a little confused about that. I'm not trying to, pick bones, but it would be helpful to see what's going on and see those deliverables that you and Chief Collins have been putting together, as soon as possible. And one other question, I've got just a couple more, but about that MOU, is there no reason to have a binding agreement between the entities? We feel comfortable that we can have, an MOU it's kind of like, yeah, we promised to do this, you promised to do that, but you're not held to it, and we're not held to it. Is there a reason that we wouldn't want something that was a bit stronger, or that they would want something that was a bit stronger, a bit enforceable?
Okay. But what do you suggest?
No, I'm just trying to understand. I don't know if I have a suggestion. Honestly, we might feel comfortable going in with a couple of promises. It would be something in writing. And they might, too. I just didn't know if that was a conscious decision. And if it wasn't, then I'll think about it, I guess.
The distinction, we could certainly go for interlocal agreement. The distinction is, I've heard people say there's really no difference. That's not true. There's clearly a difference. Interlocal is sort of a bigger thing, but really what it comes down to is penalties. What happens if it doesn't happen? That's the difference between something with teeth and something that doesn't. If there are penalties that you would like to see attached to the MOU for non-compliance, then we can definitely talk about that. My own sense is that's fraught territory. But yeah, we can definitely take that approach.
Well, and again, I'm not suggesting we do. I'm just making sure that this has been considered. For example, that the fire district doesn't want to make sure we don't go for a levy if integration passes or something like that, right? It seems like if you were them, you'd be like, yeah, I actually want that to be a real thing. If you have discussed it and discussed different options for how we go about having that agreement with them, that understanding with them, then that's okay. I'm not pressing for one or the other.
I mean, that's really the only two options, is an interlocal agreement or a memorandum of understanding. But the key distinction would be the penalties clause. What happens if you don't comply? And it's true, the MOU has no penalties associated with noncompliance. So I think the biggest thing, though, is, the union, the bargaining unit, has the right to continue on and transfer to the fire district. And that's a matter of state law, but it's also nice that the fire district has acknowledged that. And that means that during this transition, they will need to comply with state employment law regarding union employees. And so there are pretty significant penalties and obligations attached to that, that we would have, we'd be hard pressed to replicate in an MOU. Probably the most we could do in an MOU would be something like, you know, if you don't take all of our employees, you have to pay a fee, or if you fail to get your levy passed, you're going to have to pay us something. And we could certainly put those things in there, but the MOU isn't, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, the MOU isn't the only thing affecting the situation. You know, the bargaining unit is a big deal in this, and part of why we have a higher degree of comfort level with what's happening. And even for the employees, you know, we talked about, should we try to put together a collective bargaining agreement or something between our, you know, our union and the fire district? That's not very practical since, you know, they're my employees. They're in our district. It's very hard for them to have an agreement with the fire district. There was also a time consideration. But probably the biggest thing is when you make a change in working conditions, the union has a right to bargain those impacts. As the chief administrator of this organization, I can walk in tomorrow and I can say, you are no longer going to work 2 24-hour shifts in a row. You're now going to work 8-hour days, 5 days a week. Tough. I can do that as the chief administrator. I have that authority, but it's considered a change in working conditions and is bargainable. And if you can't come to an agreement and there's an impasse, then it goes all the way up to PERC, a state regulatory authority that will then look at comparables and assess the situation and make a binding decision about that. So we have quite a few protections in place that are a matter of state law and situational. And I wouldn't underestimate the impact of sort of one side not honoring their obligations in an MOU. We're public agencies and we're sort of subject to the public. And if we don't honor those agreements, you could expect considerable backlash. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't feel particularly nervous about it, but if you do, I'm more than willing to talk about it.
You know, we have made a lot of progress in a year. I think we are in a much better place in terms of protections for the employees of EMS, and that was really the crux of many of the issues. I don't want to feel like we're being bullied into integration. I want to feel like this is the meeting of two equal parties coming together to provide a public service. So I'm pleased to see the progress that we've made, and I'm pleased to see that we have the steps are that we've asked for, the absolutes are happening. I think for me, this past week, Nathan, you forwarded us a letter from the sheriff regarding marine transport. And I don't know if the rest of the board had a chance to read that. And it looks like the San Juan County Sheriff is ending their relationship with the fire department regarding use of the boats for marine response. Reading through the details of that is concerning. I just keep coming back to how much it matters in this community that the leaders of our public agencies work well together and that we all have the same common goals. But it gives me pause. Integrity matters. And that letter, that document is concerning. I don't know if other people feel that way. I think that we've made a lot of progress. I think we know that the fire department has a lot of energy to fight that we don't necessarily have. I think our the two staffs are working well together. But it's not sitting well with me at this time. Is anyone else on the line with me here? So,
well, I'm concerned too, but I don't know. Are we supposed to decide something today? Or are we just
no
kind of talking about this a little bit?
We don't have anything to decide on.
There's nothing to decide on today. It was just an opportunity to discuss where we're at with integration.
I have one more question for Superintendent Butler, if I might. Has anybody discussed the proposed increase to the fire district levy? What that amount would be?
Yes, my understanding is that, you know, this is a big decision for their agency to make. From our perspective, my main concern is, can they afford to pay for the service? Are they going to undersell it? I don't think that's the case. I think what they're planning is a 50 cent levy, EMS levy, a 6-year EMS levy at 50 cents.
Okay. And is that one of those levies that could increase by more than 1% per year? I'm getting a little confused as I become aware of these things, but, or is that one of kind of the standard 6-year levy? So for 6 years, it'd be that 50 cents. It would kind of slowly, unfortunately, drop down.
Chief Collins had discussed potentially trying to do a lid lift with a maximum of the CPI rather than 1%, but he's changed his mind on that. He's just going out for a pretty vanilla levy. It's just going to be 50 cents standard EMS levy, nothing special.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. No, thanks for that. And my understanding from your correspondence is that that is roughly what might be recommended if the hospital district were to go back out for a levy at that roughly that same time, starting in 2023 as well. So it sounds like from a financial perspective, things are looking pretty comparable that way.
I think so. I think if we were to renew it, we need to at least do 45 cents or more, probably 50 to be the most comfortable. That's where we renewed it at last time. And I think if the fire district is going to responsibly carry on service, they're likely to need that. They will definitely save money on some things, like, you know, if they're going to be in one station, they don't have to pay for two electrical bills, or they have to pay for two copy machines. You know, they're not going to pay my wages. They are going to have some extra middle management. You know, it's a much bigger organization. They will save some money, but on the other hand, you know, they've also got to pay to acquire our assets. We can't give them to them. So they've got to pay for the ambulances and pay for life packs. And we can lease to own or structure it in some way that, you know, it is not gifting of public funds, but allows them to acquire them without an excessive upfront expense. But nevertheless, they're going to have those expenses. I think, you know, there are definitely savings. But it's not prudent to try to accrue those in the very first year of service. It's going to be the kind of thing where, as time goes on, they will either provide a more expansive service or they will save money or both.
I'll be honest, dovetailing with Annalisa's comment about the boat situation with the sheriffs, the one shared with fire and sheriff. I'm troubled that one would use anyone's boat and it would sustain any kind of damage, and then that would not be addressed by the person who was using the boat. So, you know, I hope that can get ironed out, because I think that's, you know, really essential. And but I am troubled by that. I'm troubled that relationship exists, that the boat's been used, it's been had sustained damage, and it hasn't been taken care of by fire district. So.
I will say this is not. Sorry, Trish.
Oh, it's okay. I don't want to belabor the point.
It isn't really our business. It's just an example of
of
concerns about the way we work together.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know who's really at fault here. I just don't know. It's not a great situation. It's not what I want my crew in the middle of. I hope they're able to resolve it soon.
Yeah. Well, a boat's essential living out here in the island. I mean, we need to have an emergency vessel.
You know, we.
Or transport. Yeah.
We really do. And if anything, the more pressing issue is the fact that the first two boats, you know, like, okay, so here in the station, right, we've got three ambulances and they're labeled by, you know, the order for response. You get 831, 832, 833. 831 always is out first, then 832, then 833. Something similar happens with the boats. So the first two boats that would be tasked with response are out, and they're not operational right now. If anything, that's the biggest issue right now, the dispute notwithstanding. The third out boat is not a suitable boat for transport of patients. You cannot transport a gurney. You can possibly in particularly good weather. So our only play right now is to assist airlift for patients. They're not ambulatory. It's not great. It really isn't. And we do see, you know, in the summer you see quite a few calls to the outer islands. And in the winter, you see, you know, poor weather patients that need transport because airlift is out. And so I'm hoping that, you know, we're able to resolve this soon. The sheriff has graciously agreed to transport us on calls on the third out boat. There is a third boat. And there's even backups beyond that. It's just none of them are really great for patient transport. So it's not a great situation. I'm hoping that... number one, the boats will get repaired. Number two, there can be some sort of compromise between the parties.
Yeah, disappointing. Everett, did you have any comments? You've been quiet.
Well, I think as far as the disagreement between fire and the sheriff's office, really, what we hear is are rumors, and until I actually were to talk to both sides and hear their individual points of view, I would hesitate to make any decisions at all and to make any assumptions. It's unfair to, could be very unfair to somebody. So, you know, mostly I would just hope that it gets straightened out and that we stay clear of the whole thing, because we really don't know what's going on, what's behind it all. So we just don't know what really is happening. So that's, I would just reserve judgment, and we don't need to judge.
Thank you. Gail, did you have anything to add? On integration? If
I do not at this time.
Okay. Is there anything further from anyone? So we sort of have our update.